Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Jayo Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Jayo Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Jayo Jayo Prabhupad 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupad Jayo Jayo Gurudev 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 Jayo Jayo Gurudev Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol.
Jai Om Vishupad Paramahams Parivijakacharya Ashtotar Astrashat. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishupad Paramahams Parivijakacharya Ashtotar Astrashat. His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem se kho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navdeep Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Vrinda Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaura Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narotamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Reading from the 12th canto, chapter 2, entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, text number 23. Yadavatirno Bhagavan Kalkir Dharma Patir Hari Kritam Bhavishyati Tada Prajasutischa Satviki Yada Vitarano Bhagavan Kalkir Dharmapatir Hari Kritam Bhavishyati Tada Prajasutischa Satviki Yadavatirno Bhagavan Kalkir Dharmapati Hari Kritam Bhavishyati Tada Prajasutischa Satviki. Yadavatirno Bhagavan Kalkir Dharmapatir Hari Yatam Pravashyati Tada Prajasutischa Satviki. Yadavatirno Bhagavan Kalkir Dharmapatir Hari Kritam Bhavishyati Tada Praja Sutischa Satviki. Matajis.
Word to word translation. यदा वेन अवतीर्णः इनकार्नेट्स भगवान द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कल्कि ही कल्कि धर्मपति ही द मास्टर ऑफ रिलीजन हरि ही द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडेड कृतम सत्ययुगा भविष्यति विल बिगिन तदा देन प्रजाश्रुति ही द क्रिएशन ऑफ प्रोजेनी च एंड सात्विकी इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस ट्रांसलेशन बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद When the Supreme Lord has appeared on earth as Kalki, the maintainer of religion, Satya Yuga will begin, and human society will bring forth progeny in the mode of goodness. So there is no purport. We'll read the next text, text number 24. When the moon, the sun and Brihaspati are together in the constellation Karkata, and all three enter simultaneously into the lunar mansion Pushya, at that exact moment the age of Satya or Krita will begin. Text 25. Thus I have described all the kings, past, present and future, who belong to the dynasties of the sun and the moon. Text 26. From your birth up to the coronation of King Nanda, 1150 years will pass. Purport. Although Sukadev Goswami previously described approximately 1500 years of royal dynasties, it is understood that some overlapping occurred between kings. Therefore, the present chronological calculation should be taken as authoritative.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोबेष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकां वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सगणा रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवां साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सगणा ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So seeking the blessings of all the exalted Vaishnavas present over here. Today we are discussing or we are continuing to discuss this particular chapter, the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And as we have been hearing from so many different speakers during the past few days, this particular part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is not something which is theoretical to us, but it is extremely practical, because the symptoms of Kali Yuga that are being described in this particular chapter are for us there to see. And all of us in this present day and age are experiencing the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And actually, one wonders then if what the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, that Kali Yuga is already present here for the last 5,000 years, whether this statement is factually correct. Because one sees, particularly for those of us who have lived for 50-60 years on this particular planet, that the symptoms of Kali Yuga are actually manifested in the last 30 to 40 years. And if we see our early childhood in the early 60s, practically there were no symptoms of Kali Yuga prevalent. On the contrary, things were so peaceful, everything was exactly how a human being would be progressing on his particular journey in his childhood. All of us have experienced how we used to go to school, how we would be coming back in the afternoon, and then we would be spending time with our family members, and we would be going out to play in the evenings. And this particular aspect of play was such an important aspect of our lives that for practically 2 to 3 hours we would be out there on the grounds with nature, playing with the other children, and absolutely not concerned about what is the type of children with whom we are associating with, what sort of diseases he could be carrying, what precautions we need to take, you know, before we even touch that particular child. Nothing of this sort was even of any consequence to us. We used to just mingle with them, play with them, and at the end of the day we would be so completely exhausted that we would just hit the bed and go to sleep. So this were the days that we remember of our early childhood, and this was just about 50-60 years back. But then came this television set, and this was in the year 19 approximately, the late 70s, that the television set first manifested in India. And I remember those days, it was a great thing actually for people to own a television set, because they were pretty expensive those days, and there were those black and white television sets, they were not even color. Our family couldn't afford a television set, so we would go to the neighbor's home and there would be just one program, and that also would be telecast only in the evenings. So it would be from 8:30 in the evening or maybe 7:30 in the evening till 9:30 in the evening. For 2 hours there would be this telecast by Doordarshan. There would be just one or two programs on black and white, and even those programs we would be sitting and watching. And you know, gradually that television set transformed itself into a color television set. And then came the computer, which was again something which was completely new to us. This sort of a technology where with just a few... The thing about the technology that we were accustomed to at that particular point in time when computers manifested was the calculator. And that was the greatest technology that was known to us here in India, right? And of course, our childhood, we didn't even have a calculator, so it would be all done in our minds. You know, this actual calculation of 40 into 72 into 30 would be done by us in our minds. But then came the calculator, and then that was considered by us a great advancement in technology. But this was actually the invasion of Kali Yuga into our homes and into our lives. And then came the computer, which was a much advanced version of the calculator. And then came the telex machine, right? We were all accustomed to having telegrams received by us in our houses, and typically a telegram would be a harbinger of either very good news, like somebody was born, or very bad news, somebody died. And invariably, whenever the postman would come with the telegram, I mean, our heart would go to our mouth, because we would always be thinking about the bad things. Oh, somebody has died. So that was how the technology was in those days. And then a telephone in India was practically a non-existent commodity. One could hardly see telephones in public places. Only the very rich could afford a telephone, and there was a waiting line of almost 10 years in order to get a telephone, and that too you had to pay a premium in order to get a telephone. So I remember one day when we had a neighbor who had a telephone, and we received a call. My mother received a call, and my mother had never ever used a telephone in her life. So she received a call and she was all flustered and how she should take the call, and we were very small at that time. So she went to the neighbor's home, and she didn't even know how to hold a telephone. So you remember those black sets that we would have, and this huge instrument. So you had to take it up and put it to your ear, and one section was in the ear and one section was in the mouth. So she had held that instrument for the first time in her life, and she held it opposite. And she was screaming on the phone, "Hello, hello, hello, hello." And obviously the other person could not hear, because where she is supposed to be speaking is in her ear, and where she is supposed to be hearing is in her mouth. And then, I came running and told her, "No, Mama, you should not be doing it like that. You should hold it the other way." So, but we were happy, because technology did not play any role in our lives. You know, this was an age where we were associating with people at a physical level. We were talking to people, whenever we would meet them. And the holidays were a time that we would actually look forward to, because that would be the time when we would spend extended periods of time with our relatives, months together, right? The entire vacation, the first day after school closed, would be the day that we would start packing, and then the next day we would leave for our native places, and we would spend the whole of summer. And there would be so much to talk, because we had not met each other for several months, and obviously there were a lot of information that we needed to exchange, and one would hardly even write letters, because it's too much of effort. You sit down and write a letter. You first of all, you have to buy a postcard or an inland letter, and then you write the letter, and then you take it and go to the post office or post box and deposit it over there, and that person receives it after a week, by which time whatever you want to communicate has already become stale. So nobody really bothered about writing letters during those days. But then whenever we met, there was so much talk, there was so much to exchange, so much of Adan Pradan, this association, which is the backbone of the Krishna consciousness movement, was actually something that all of us would experience with our relatives 50 years back. So this Kali Yuga, actually we can see that the symptoms of Kali Yuga manifested in our lives actually in the last 30-40 years, right? From the telex we moved to the fax machine, and then from the fax machine we had the internet where we could send an email, right? And then came the WhatsApp, and then came Instagram and Telegram, and there are so many other TikTok and whatnot. So basically what happened is that along the way we had this technology quietly creeping into our lives to such an extent that gradually we started becoming more and more connected with technology and less connected with people. And this is actually the greatest symptom of Kali Yuga, that people, instead of connecting with human beings, were now connecting with technology, which is actually very passive, because that connection with technology is not something that, you exchange anything with. Right? It is always a one-way traffic of information that is coming to you. Whereas the association of a human being means that there is an exchange of information. So this is what technology has basically done to us. Today, we find that a typical human being has become very lonely. He has become impersonal. He has lost his touch with reality. And although, this technology like Facebook and Instagram and all this new technologies, have a facility where you could recruit members to become part of your family of Instagram and Facebook and so on, but there's hardly any connection with any of these people. And more often than not, if there is any event in your life that you want to share, so you go onto the social media, and then you share whatever you want, and then the other person over there, he just responds with a like or a smiley or whatever he feels inspired to do. And by looking at it, you feel nice that that person has responded. But actually, what is the response? Where is that personal connection that is so much essential for a human being who is basically a social animal? So the social media has transformed the social animal, that is a human being, into a completely unsocial animal, where he no longer is able to connect with another individual on a one-to-one basis. And gradually we have been seeing over the years how it is that even in the work situation, people are communicating on emails. People are communicating to each other on the smartphones, right? Whereas when a person would be just across the floor, you would rather send him an email, or you'd rather send him a WhatsApp message, or you'd rather send him or call him on a telephone, rather than actually going and personally meeting him. That is because the human being has now lost the ability to connect with another human being on a personal level. So this is a very unfortunate situation that we are now experiencing. So from that perspective, one actually understands, you know, from this chapter, that the symptoms of Kali Yuga that are manifesting is now we are actually entering into a very deep, dark age, where the human being is completely losing touch with reality and losing touch with other fellow human beings. Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in Japan, in Tokyo, in 1972. And Srila Prabhupada was talking on this particular verse, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining this particular verse, and he was telling the devotees over there that the association of Vaishnavas is actually what creates Vaikuntha. And this Vaikuntha atmosphere is what we need to keep within our temples. And only when we have a Vaikuntha atmosphere in our temple, will our temples actually be able to keep away the symptoms of Kali Yuga from entering within our temples. And then Srila Prabhupada was glorifying, there was this devotee by the name Sudama, he was a sannyasi at that time, and Srila Prabhupada was glorifying and saying that, just see Sudama, how he is doing his services, but then at the same time, he is able to do it in a mood of associating with all the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada was glorifying this particular aspect of association of devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada said that we are actually not living in Japan, we are living in Vaikuntha. And every one of us needs to be understanding that we need to have this Vaishnav relationship, which is actually a Vaikuntha consciousness. And that is what is given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. You know, although Srimad Bhagavatam may be something that we may not be able to relate to that much, because it talks about so many different aspects of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, beginning with creation, which is something for our mind too difficult to comprehend. But the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which were written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami just about 500 years back, is actually completely relatable to us, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived just about 500 years back. And he was teaching through his own personal example what is the importance of the association of devotees, and how important it is for us to ensure that we remain within this association of devotees in a mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnunam amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And one, whilst reading the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one wonders as to why is it that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying whoever he would come in contact with, particularly the Vaishnava associates of his. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami narrates how it was that at the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing off the devotees from Jagannath Puri. They were going back to their respective places. There were devotees from Srikanda, there were devotees from Kulinagram, there were devotees from Navadvip. So all these devotees were returning back to their respective places after spending 4 months with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bidding them farewell. And as he was bidding them farewell, you can imagine all the devotees were assembled before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like we see over here. So many wonderful devotees sitting over here. So we have, you know, in our temple, during Bhagavatam class, you will see that there are devotees who have a particular seat. And you will always wonder, why is it that they want to sit in that particular seat? And each of them have a particular angle from where they can see both the deities as well as the speaker. So you will have Dauji Prabhu sitting over there right on the right-hand side. And then you will have Sri Chaitanya Prabhu sitting over there on the left-hand side. And then we have Narsingha Tirtha Prabhu sitting right in front of the speaker. And of course we know Sadbhuj Prabhu, like a chataka bird, he sits right in front of the speaker over here, listening to each and every word of the speaker as if it is his life and soul. So you see all these devotees over here, my prostrated obeisances to them. And just like that, all these devotees were there in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just, you know, feeling very emotional and feeling very sad that they are now leaving the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at the devotees and said, I want to tell you about the glories of this Raghav Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Raghav Pandit is such a personality whose love for worshipping, love for worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Lord Krishna, is so intense that he will go to any extent in order to worship the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started saying that Raghav Pandit actually has got a lot of coconut trees in his backyard. And this coconut trees actually give the best of coconuts. But if Raghav Pandit comes to know that 20 miles away there is a place where you can get much better coconuts, he will go all the way over there and purchase this coconut for a price which is far, far higher than what would be available locally. And then, with great affection, he would bring those coconuts and cut off their head and put them in cold water in order to keep it ready for the offering of the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one day when Raghav Pandit was sitting in the temple and observing how his servant was preparing the coconuts for offering it to the Lord, these coconuts that were obtained with a great amount of difficulty, the servant, as he was entering into the temple hall, he accidentally touched the ceiling. And Raghav Pandit happened to see it. And then Raghav Pandit was thinking to himself that this particular ceiling has the dust of all the devotees who are coming over here. And by touching the ceiling, the servant has actually contaminated the offering. And Raghav Pandit immediately gets up and he goes over there to the servant and tells the servant that these coconuts are no longer fit for offering to the Lord. What a wonderful consciousness Raghav Pandit had. And immediately he ordered the servant to throw away these coconuts and offer fresh coconuts to the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned towards Vasudev Dutt. And then he said, let me tell you what the glories of Vasudev Dutt are. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying Vasudev Dutt as if he had thousands of mouths. And Vasudev Dutt, looking at the Lord, he said, my dear Lord, I just want to tell you one thing. I am so insignificant, I am so fallen, and yet I see that there are so many people in this world who are suffering due to the effects of Kali Yuga and due to the effects of being in this material world. It is my humble prayer, my dear Lord, that I should actually take all their karma on my head and suffer in hell eternally. And my humble request to you, my Lord, is that you should release them all and take them back home, back to Godhead. So this was Vasudev Dutt. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudev Dutt's prayer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart became so soft, started shedding tears of happiness and said, my dear Vasudev, what necessity is there for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to keep you in hell? For him, for Lord Krishna, this particular universe is so insignificant. It is just like an Audambara seed in a tree that is filled with Audambara fruits. In one Audambara fruit, there are millions of seeds. And there are millions of fruits in an Audambara tree. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if one of those seeds were to fall down, what would be the loss for Krishna? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned towards Mukunda, Raghunandan, and Narahari. And then he asked Mukunda, "My dear Mukunda, tell me, who is the father and who is the son?" And then Mukunda said, My dear Lord, Raghunandan is my father and I am the son." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, what you are saying is right. Whoever has brought you to Krishna, he is actually your father. So biologically, you may be the father of Raghunandan, but the actual father is the one who brings you to Krishna consciousness." So this is, for us, a very important lesson to be learned, that in the association of devotees, we have to constantly be meditating on gratitude towards each and every person who has brought us to Krishna consciousness, and not only brought us to Krishna consciousness, who's keeping us in Krishna consciousness. Every day that we spend in the association of devotees is so intensely valuable that we can never ever take this association for granted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the way that we can perfect our lives in Kali Yuga is just by two ways. One is to chant the holy names of the Lord, and the second is never offend Vaishnavas. But if we are to associate with devotees in the mood of genuinely trying to serve them, then we will be always safe from this particular propensity of Kali Yuga to be offensive. Because the nature in Kali Yuga of a human being is always to find faults with others. And why does he find faults with others? Because by finding faults with others, he is actually putting himself into a situation where he presents himself to be superior to the other person. And that's the nature of Kali Yuga. Right? Srila Prabhupada would call it as the crab mentality. So, and then Srila Prabhupada would explain, what is it that is the nature of a crab? So when a fisherman catches crabs and he transports them from one place to another place in a basket, he doesn't bother to put a lid on top of the basket. So one would think that if he doesn't put a lid on top of the basket, the crabs would escape. They would just get out. But no, because the crab mentality is that when one crab tries to escape, there are hundreds of crabs who are trying to pull him down. So no crab will ever escape this particular basket. And the fisherman knows this. So he saves himself the expense of investing in a lid. So this is the crab mentality that we see out there in the material world. And particularly in Kali Yuga, one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, quarrel and hypocrisy, which is the overriding phenomena of Kali Yuga, is to find faults with other human beings, right? Because first of all, it helps him in his own sense gratification when he finds faults with others. And on the other hand, he ensures that that particular person is put down in the eyes of society when he actually criticizes the other person. So this is the nature of Kali Yuga. But in our temples, which is, as Srila Prabhupada said, every temple is Vaikuntha, there is no place for criticism of Vaishnavas. Although the association of devotees is available to us, the tendency, because of our materialistic nature, is always to take that association for granted. And this is what we have to ensure is something that we do not do. And for that, we have the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita explaining to us exactly how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have these dealings with his devotees. These devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were themselves very exalted Vaishnavas, and they were all pure devotees of the Lord. But between themselves, the wonderful association that they would have with themselves would ensure that we have so many different pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita teaching us how we need to associate with Vaishnavas in order to keep the symptoms of Kali Yuga away from our temples. So this is the Vaikuntha consciousness that Srila Prabhupada wants to have. that we associate with the devotees in the mood of the servant, and ensure that we do not commit Vaishnav aparad, because that would ensure that we are actually in the Vaikuntha consciousness that Srila Prabhupada is talking about. So once there was this conversation that Srila Prabhupada was having with a few devotees in a room. This was in Los Angeles. And one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada the question, that Srila Prabhupada, during the course of my services, I have to actually give instructions to so many devotees. So at the time when I'm giving them the instruction, I feel as if I'm exploiting them. But at the same time, I'm thinking that I'm engaging him in Krishna's service. So Srila Prabhupada, can you please explain to me that is it appropriate for me to be engaging them in this service? Will Krishna protect me from, because I have this feeling always that I'm exploiting them. So will Krishna protect me? So this is the question that he asked Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada immediately became very grave. Srila Prabhupada said that there is no question of exploiting a Vaishnava. If we ever think that we are, because we are in a position of authority, we should be exploiting Vaishnavas, this means actually we are paving our way to hell. And Srila Prabhupada was so heavy on that particular devotee, and he said that the right way to think when we are actually engaging devotees in Krishna's service is to think that we are actually doing this in the mood of a servant. We might be in this particular position today, but tomorrow we could be exactly the other situation where somebody is giving an instruction to us. And then what would be our mentality at that particular point in time? And this is taught to us by the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We see from this conversation between Maharaj Rahuguna and Jada Bharat. So actually one sees from the life of Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj got attached to his deer. So he left his body thinking about his deer. So he got another life in the form of a deer. But although he got the life of a deer, he was in the body of a deer, but still he was carrying with him that particular consciousness of ensuring that he does not commit any offenses to others, and that he should be just constantly meditating upon the Lord. And at the end of the life as in the body of the deer, he was in proper consciousness. But still, the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam explain that he got one more body. He got the body of Jada Bharat. And as Jada Bharat, he was basically a very simple person. He used to present himself as a fool. Whenever his father would tell him to do a particular thing, he would do exactly the opposite. And his brothers also, they were so much, treating him with a great amount of disrespect and no feelings. But still, Jada Bharat was completely unmoved. And, you know, we know from this pastime how when he comes to do this particular service to Maharaj Raghuna, and Maharaj Raghuna is so much disturbed that he comes down from his palanquin and starts chastising Jada Bharat. And then Jada Bharat gives him this whole philosophy and tells him that today you are the king and we are actually carrying you because you are sitting on the palanquin. But tomorrow it could be just the opposite, that I could be sitting on the palanquin and you could be carrying me. So this particular example in the Bhagavatam has been given to us for this explicit purpose of making us understand that yes, during our course of our services, we have to understand that although we might be in a particular position today, tomorrow it could always be the reverse, where we could be actually the recipient of the instructions of another person. So how important it is for us to respond to the devotees when we are requesting them to do their service was taught to us by Srila Prabhupada in that particular pastime, where he tells the devotee that we have to always ensure that we are doing this in the mood of a servant. There is absolutely no question of you considering yourself to be in the position of a master. So this is a very wonderful lesson for us to learn.
And if we have, we maintain ourselves in that particular consciousness of always trying to be in the mood of a servant of the servant of the servant, then we will ensure that we do not commit any offenses. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if we really want to make advancement in the path of Krishna consciousness and finally want to go home back to Godhead, we just have to do these two simple things. One is chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and never offend Vaishnavas. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. So we have 5 minutes. If there's anybody who has any questions, we could take one or two questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.